Hey, you guys, it's your boy Eli here, and I'm happy to announce that we will be part of Comic Palooza's podcast partnership program. And we will be there live in front of all of you guys, everyone who's been attending Comic Palooza on May 26th and 28th. We will be doing a live podcast episode in front of everyone and hope to see you all there. We will be doing some cool stuff there, and I hope to see you guys there. Hopefully, a meetup with those. Anyways, guys, hope to see you guys there. Anyways.
And welcome back to the episode of The Concerns, me, boy, Eli.
Me, Joe.
And we are here to talk about X-Men 97. But before that, quick note, we will be at Compalooza on the week of the Memorial Weekend from Friday at 1 p.m., right?
I believe so.
Let me double check, because sometimes I get my timing wrong. But we will be there for a live show on Friday at... Yeah. We're talking about some funny animated fighting in cartoons, because that was a thing in the 90s.
If you're, you know, intrigued by that, just the bizarre animation of various bizarre 90s shows about fighting games that haven't, definitely come out, watch us live, all that stuff. Yeah, because, we did this last year. It was very fun, very cool experience to get.
It would be at 6.
6 p.m.? Mm.
Yes, on Friday.
Yeah, so, we'll probably just, that'll be, like, one of the last few things for the con. So, yeah, definitely come out on Friday. Check us out, come meet us for the first time, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
And it will also be on Sunday at 1. That's the one I was thinking about, where we will be with other podcasting groups. The Phantom Nerds and WBM, as we discuss the Anime Odyssey. So basically how influential anime has been in a lot of areas aside from just animation. And so we're excited for that one. I will be up there. You said you'll be there, kind of, maybe, you're not sure?
Not sure at the moment, but,
be there in spirit.
Be there in spirit if I can't be, right?
Yeah, so that's the one thing that we wanted to get out. Other way, we hope to see you guys there. But on to the actual episode of today, where we will be talking about the full season of X-Men 97, our thoughts, how do we feel about this show, and how do we want to see any other shows couldn't have this kind of treatment? Because, a lot of people are... let me check the audio. A lot of people are talking about how maybe can we do it with a good old Spider-Man? But we'll see.
At this point, we've ended season one, which, just from the ending of this latest episode.
Yeah,
alright, we have more stories to tell, right? That sort of thing.
We always leave it at a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're never confirmed for season two. Now, this show is confirmed for season two. The writer, the head writer has already done enough work for two seasons in terms of the writing. And now it's just left in the hands of the animators. So whether we'll see that by a year or two from now, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, honestly, Joey, what are your thoughts overall on the show?
Overall, I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think it is a great sort of, continuation of the original series, right? Mm-hmm. And just it's nice to see some X-Men action after, because I went, the Dark Phoenix movie came out in, 2019, right?
2019, was it? I don't really remember.
Point is that the X-Men have been sort of out of the spotlight in terms of mainstream media for quite a while.
Yeah, and rightfully so, I would say, because, by the way, that wasn't the last one. You forgot about New Mutants.
But that, to be fair, that movie was in, It was not in development hell, but it was very much like they've made the movie, it was finished, but they just couldn't figure out when to release it. Because I swear to God, there was three different trailers just for when that movie was getting announced to come out, and then just didn't get.
Yeah.
It was just one of those movies where no one really knew what to do with it, especially because I think it was towards the it was finished right around the Disney-Fox merger ended, so it was well, shit, what do we do with this?
I guess we'll send it out and see what we can do with it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because I remember really liking some of the casting choices, like Anatole Joy as Magic. I'm like, no, yeah, that is a good choice.
She was Macy Williams in that too.
Yeah, she was. I forgot who the name of that character was, but she's basically like a She-Wolf kind of. I think it might have been She-Wolf is the name. But it's one of those things where like, I read X-Men, but there's so many characters in X-Men that I can't even keep track with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, that was the show. That was a movie. And after that, it just came in limbo because everyone was kind of waiting and seeing what Marvel would do with their X-Men, because that's the characters that everyone's excited for, next to the Avengers and maybe Fantastic Four. But obviously, X-Men has been around for so long, you kind of understand why they kind of gave it a bit of a breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
And the show is, 97 is kind of like, I feel like it's kind of a compromise, right? Like, here's, you won't get the movies now, but here's the show. With everything, including the classic theme.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think people were hoping to see how they would handle X-Men and mutants in the MCU,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, right? I mean, we kind of have been sort of seeing some of that mutant stuff in the MCU,
mm-hmm.
But not full-on X-Men. I mean, obviously, Deadpool and Wolverine movie that's going to come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's sort of, I think, the first actual X-Men-related thing for the MCU, so, you know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
X-Men 97, you know, I really liked it. I liked the animation, I liked just the characters and
yeah.
sort of the whole, a lot of the story arcs that went out, you know, went through the course of the season,
yeah.
you know, it's just a lot of good, you know, storytelling.
No, I'm with you on it. The thing that really caught me, and I think that caught a lot of people's attention, is that I feel like the first few episodes were very much, but there was always already hints at the beginning of the show, where we're kind of being a little more adult with this, and like we said like in our last conversation about this, adult not in like the graphic sense, while there is some graphic, you know, violence, but adult in the form of topics, right?
The storytelling, right?
Yeah.
Like the subject matter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because, like, we've always known that the X-Men have had always these different allegories to different things. You know, stuff like race. Basically, their big thing is their big obstacle is bigotry, right? So, that kind of stuff. And this show pretty much feels more mature in the sense that we are talking about that kind of stuff, right? Obviously, you can see in the second episode with, the Executioner, who, like, very much is, like, screw mutants, Magneto, here's the reason why I hate, you know, mutants, and then it's, like, what, like, you can be just taken, like, as a childish thing, you know, right? You know, I don't like them because they're different, but the way he goes about it is, like, I feel like nowadays you can, this feels a little more, you know, different.
I think the way he talks and
yeah.
stuff, right? Like you can have that be inputted on X group, right?
Yeah. Literally X group.
And any, you know, minority or
mm-hmm.
group or a group that's been sort of persecuted or
mm-hmm.
prejudiced against, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's always been sort of X-Men sort of bread and butter, right? Like, that's sort of always been how
mm-hmm.
The comics have treated the X-Men, the mutants in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
As, like, people fear mutants because, you know, it's sort of like,
they're different and they have powers that, to be honest, go at randomness because sometimes you'll come out with a really cool power, like phasing through walls, or you become Beak. The guy who looks like a giant bald bird.
Yeah, you know, that's always been one of those interesting things
mm-hmm.
about the X-Men. But yeah, the show definitely leans into that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, we have the Roberto character, Sunspot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, his whole arc is that he's from a rich family, right? That that he knows he's a mutant, but he doesn't want to, like, you know, come out to his parents, you know, that sort of thing. And they do an interesting arc with him finally coming out to his mom, at least. And it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting take. But then, you know, it's still kind of
yeah. No, she the By the way, there will be a bit of spoilers in this conversation because I feel like it's kind of needed.
Well, yeah, because we're discussing the whole season in general at this point, right? Because all the episodes are out, you know. So we're just going to go through mainly just down like the various aspects of the show that I think we all sort of liked and stuff, right?
Yeah. With Sunspot, the fact that his mother finds out and yet tries to still hide it, like the big shame of it, right? Like, oh, I don't want people to know that my son is a mutant, and it's like that kind of story. Be like, you can equate it to anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, cause the thing is that it feels so interesting.
Yeah,
is that, you know, like his parents know, like. It's like, come on, you really expect us to believe all these crazy stories you kept on? Our house didn't, like, get burned down, like, ever since you were 16, you had, like, multiple, like,
fire accidents,
you kept blaming it on a bunch of random stuff. Like, we kind of figured you had something going on, but we wanted you to come out to us,
and it starts off like something like, son, we know, we just want you to know that whatever you're comfortable to tell us, we're to be here. But we need to keep this shit in the wraps because it might ruin our future.
Yeah, that sort of thing where it's like, they have this aspect of, we want to, you know, you're our son, we love you. However, we have, you know, a name to hold up, and unfortunately, we need to keep this under wraps. Like, we still like you. You know, I guess it was...
the way he said that, too.
Yeah.
It's probably how he felt.
Yeah, it's like, that's probably how he felt, saw it. It's like, we love you, but we need to, you know, you cannot be out here looking, you know, doing that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, it's basically both comforting and fearing of what was what he felt. And which why, like, when he ends up slightly turning villainous, I would say.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know.
It's like, yeah, I kind of get it.
Yeah, you get it. You get it. But yeah, like, I mean, what else do you want to talk about?
Probably just, honestly, for me, is just, so obviously they're borrowing a lot from the comics, right? They're not fully adapting stuff from the comics, I would say, but they're taking a lot of good stuff to help, you know, breathe new life into it, but also, you know, give people the idea of, I wouldn't say that, but it's more like they're using storylines from the comics, kind of condensing it. The way that a lot of the movies have been doing, that I feel like they've been kind of missing some points of it. I feel like the show's been doing a lot better with it, because, like, I'm thinking of the fall of Genosha, right? Which was a thing that happened in one of... Who was it? It wasn't... it was right after the Claremont era... I want to say it wasn't the Jim Lee era, but it was probably Grant Morrison era. It was Grant the Morrison era where they really went into that, and that's kind of where it led into the new X-Men books, especially with, what's her name, the White Queen, Emma.
Where
they start introducing the second generation, you know, the second mutations kind of stuff. Because it's like, amazing, she got, you know, diamond powers, which is like, oh, are they doing that? Oh, they're not doing that. But the way they introduced that line, but I recommend guys go check out the comics. The way you can do that is it helps out, you know, it helps explain what they're kind of doing the story. Like, there's still hope, and there's still, like, a lot of this stuff going on. And then you're kind of using it to, like, bridge this sort of storyline, right? I think that's a really cool thing, if I make it any sense.
Yeah, there you are, you know, it's like how a lot of the MCU movies are, right? They take various bits of the comic storyline, but are able to streamline it to have be a bit more of a, you know, yeah, streamlined experience, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously they know they can't have as many pages as a comic book, but they'll take whatever, a lot of the important bits and stuff and make sure, and sort of put it all together.
Because there's a point where... they make, like, a slight reference, but I kind of was wondering, are they going to go forward with this? Where the tease of Onslaught. And if those of you who don't know who Onslaught is basically what happens when you put Magneto's ambitions and, like, Xavier's sort of dark tendencies together. And that's what you get, Onslaught. right? It's you probably seen him as this big, super, like 90s muscular Magneto looking dude. That's Onslaught,
mm-hmm.
right? If you play Marvel's Capcom 1, that's the final boss.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I have to throw that in.
Yeah, I as soon as you said Onslaught, I knew we were gonna go that route. But yeah, you can go on.
No, but no, yeah, that's kind of like where I thought for a second they were going, because there was a moment where they're kind of doing that, but it was more or less like just like a slight callback, not an actual. You know, we're not doing that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I don't know. But it's that kind of stuff. It's like basically it was after like a huge argument between the two that caused them to do that, and that's what they did in the show. But they're not going for fully with the Onslaught thing. It was more of like, hey, let's just do this part of that storyline.
Right.
Which I thought, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But yeah, like I said, go check out the comics because they're pretty cool. Honestly, what would you else want to speak on for the show?
I will say, I did find the, well, speaking of Magneto stuff, I did find the Magneto Rogue subplot.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah, how so?
Well, I mean...
Because I'm actually surprised they went with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's very, I'll say it's very soap opera-ish, you know, which I guess fits in line with X-Men, because I feel like there's a lot of, like, soap opera elements in X-Men. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
The whole Jean, Cyclops, Wolverine,
which is
love triangle.
If I'm being honest, that was always more of like TV and movie thing. Comic wise, it's rarely a thing. But I, you know,
yeah,
like I get why they put that, especially that everyone's like clamoring about. Because like, let's just say the triangle, the love triangle, I was expecting was gonna be that. But no, it was the Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit thing.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, it's like, I think you mentioned this before, but yeah, that is a storyline that happens in the comics, because Magneto's, like, electromagnetism stuff, you know, his powers, he basically is, like, he uses it, he's, like, the only person that can actually touch her.
Yeah.
Without being affected by her abilities.
And that means so much to her.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, so it's like, then you... I guess, yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's
one of the moments in the show that made me, like, really love Gambit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gambit's a very understanding man, as suave and as, you know, full of drip and full of riz, that man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, but I respect you, Rogue. I respect you. I love you. You know, what was that line he told her? Some things are deeper than skin.
Yeah,
and I'm just like,
that.
Oh, my boy, that's my boy right there, that's my man, and you know, but you know, and that you know leads to Rogue, and throughout the show, like, cause he has the best death scene, and like, I was hurt. I was like, oh, not my boy, Gambit, and then you know that kind of leads into the shit with Rogue being going through her mourning, I guess.
Yeah, just. You know,
mm-hmm. But okay. Let me ask you this. One of the reasons you were thinking about it is because like how weird it was considering the age gap.
Yeah, I think it is definitely an odd one, right? I mean, because
I mean, I knew it was gonna happen because they kind of teased it in that first episode,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, are they doing it? All right, and they make jokes about it, but they, you know, they also play it serious. And I'm like, oh, you're going for that. Are we doing... I was like, and in my mind, I was like, especially when they introduced Baby Cable, I was like, wait, are we doing Age of Apocalypse? Is that what we're doing? But it's not, because like in Age of Apocalypse, they're together and they have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue and...
Maybe,
yeah. Yeah, which I was like, that's still kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit too jarring, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, no, it's a... Yeah, obviously, you know, because Magneto, he's a... Holocaust survivor, so he's at least, God, like, he's definitely
old.
We
went with, like, current,
yeah, if it was set in modern, like, 2024 timeline, it's like, Jesus. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, like, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever, it's comics.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they met as consenting adults anyway,
mm-hmm.
So it's, I guess, if it's not that weird, but they're,
yeah.
You know, obviously, it's still a little weird, but, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, for what it is, it works because it does sort of feel like... Because
like I said, you understand what Rogue's coming from.
Yeah, and it does, and I think it does a good job of at least creating a lot of drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like intrigue and stuff. And, you know, obviously later on, you know, where she does sort of at least stand by Magneto a bit, because
mm-hmm.
she's also like, listen, I want to, like, build a world where mutants aren't, like, persecuted and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, like, have that Genosha stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, ultimately, she still, like, has, like, sort of, those sort of feelings.
No, yeah, and I'm very happy they kind of went that direction. Speaking of love triangles, the other love triangle, which was ended really quickly, which was the, like I said earlier, the Jean Scott and Wolverine angle.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's definitely a less, like, focused on, but I feel like at the same time, it's like, I think the creators knew that they can really rely, you know, do a whole ton of that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody's sort of seen that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
I feel
they
like
had, like,
show,
a bunch of movies about it.
Yeah, and the show, I feel like, definitely wants to put in a lot of... was putting in a lot of work to, like, make Cyclops... like, make you understand why he's the leader, right?
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's a very caring man, and he's also very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he very much cares. And I'm really glad that throughout the show, like, they kind of, like, set up the... yes, I love Jean, but this is kind of weird because I was with the clone, but does that mean I love Jean? And, of course, well, they don't really go that much into it. It's pretty much established, like, no, you do love Jean.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, where does Madeline end and where does Jean begin, right, kind of thing?
Like, did I know Madeline the whole time? Did I know Jean the whole time? When was Jean Madeline and when was Madeline Jean, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, this is kind of a theme between with Scott about being a father and, like, fatherhood and that kind of stuff. Especially since, like, the season starts off with him, you know, being a father to Nathan, having to lose Nathan, and only to be reunited after he finds out that Nathan is Cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah, Scott, you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
But you also, again, we kind of get why he was very much the leader. He's got what it takes. And, yeah, no. Where else can we go with this? Because there's so much we can talk about, we just don't know where to start.
I mean, Professor Xavier.
Oh,
That little subplot that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we kind of, I think in our first episode talking about those first two episodes, I think, of
mm-hmm.
X-97, right?
Yeah.
Where we're like, is Charles Xavier dead? Probably not.
Now.
When will he come back? Will he do, like, what he did in the movies where he, like, comes back in, like, a different consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else's body kind of thing?
No, he was just in space with his girlfriend.
Yeah, like, off-screen, he was saved by these aliens, right?
Yeah, the Shi'ar.
The Shi'ar, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, the Shi'ar, they were a thing.
I won't lie, when that episode started, I'm like, all right, so what sort of weird alien shenanigans are we getting into? Because, I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
what the hell does this have to do?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's like, oh, all right, I see. Okay, I know. Okay, all right,
yep.
that makes sense.
And it just kind of furthers detail as, like, why I think, you know, Professor Xavier is such, like, a really good character outside of the comics. Because in the comics, he's kind of, like, back and forth between, like, being that fatherly, you know, good-natured man
mm-hmm.
to, like...
mentor.
To, like, Scott, I love Jean.
Mm-hmm.
What?
What?
That was an actual thing, by the way. I'm just like, bro, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, when you think about a child soldiers...
Okay. I mean, not necessarily, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, that is how it sort of turned out for the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but yeah, you know, there's an interesting thing with him. Like, you know, he did obviously was in love,
yeah.
right? But at the end of the day, he couldn't really let go of the X-Men.
No, he couldn't let go to the cause. He loves his children.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, he... gets that sort of thing. I'm like, oh shit, shit went down in Genosha. I have to like go back now.
Yeah, his they were drinking, they were dancing, drinking, making love. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, dude. You know, it's like it was perfect, and then what the hell?
It was paradise.
Yeah.
And then destruction.
Yeah, so you know.
Do you want to talk about the little cameos?
Oh yeah, I mean, I won't include much of Morph's cameos bits because I mean he obviously transforms into a bunch of different characters.
Yeah,
just
Sabretooth, Hulk. I don't think there's another one in there. Too.
Quicksilver.
Oh yeah, Quicksilver. I forgot about
that. Yeah,
that
bit. Yeah. I mean, I really don't necessarily count those, but it is kind of neat, right?
Yeah.
Just to see that sort of thing. But no, yeah, there's other cameos of various other Marvel characters. I mean, heck, we have the Captain America bit.
Yeah. And I remember seeing a lot of people being upset about that. And I'm like, guys, this is an X-Men show. Because if those of you who don't tend to read comics, oftentimes whenever there's a cameo or like some a character from a different book shows up, they're either going to be written as they are or they're going to be written to be different. like Captain America is one of those where he's either the... like a military kind of guy, very much for the government. But then when you go read his books, he's like, "Oh, this is not what he would have done."
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So I wasn't really bothered by it, and I've seen people getting upset. And I'm like, it's just how it be.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, and to be fair, like later on when as the course of the series goes on, there's, you know, the Asteroid M thing, and the president is thinking about just shooting a bunch of freaking missiles to, like, just blow it up, and Cap is very much like, yeah, I don't think this is a good idea, boss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you get that sort of look, he has a sort of downtrodden look, like, I don't like this.
Mm, I don't like this.
So, you know, it's he still has those elements, obviously.
We also got to see Daredevil...
Yeah, we got to see Daredevil doing a little bit of saving, because, I mean, not to get too deep into it, but we do sort of find, like, the actual true villain of the season, Bastion.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into it.
Yeah, because he's been sort of, like, the main dude behind everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's responsible for the, you know, the whole blowing up of Genosha and turning people into Prime Sentinels, which are, like...
Yeah.
Pretty much just cyborgs.
Yeah, they're basically cyborgs, and like it's the idea that he portrays is that because of this fear of mutants, of people who aren't you, are coming out more and more. That you're like it's very much like commentary you would kind of hear nowadays. Not to go like actual politics and shit. So again, like it's very understandable why these people don't want to like switch sides and or like do that kind of stuff because they're afraid. And he kind of like milks that fear and uses it for his own goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is essentially a half cyborg kind of guy.
Yeah, like he's basically like half Sentinel.
Yeah, and
like he's a mutant but also Sentinel.
Yeah, which is like the worst kind.
Yeah.
Because his prime directive is to destroy the mutants.
Yeah, so pretty much that's his whole thing. Like he sets up pretty much all of this stuff to go down in order to essentially wipe out all mutants, but also just, you know, turn things into, like, you know, a robot wasteland.
Yeah, no, he is ruthless, too. Just the way he kills that one guy. I was like, whoa, that took a turn.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things where, like I said, like this show is a lot more mature than it was than you remember, and it kind of makes sense, right? Because we got the ability to do it, and then we're gonna, you know, we can go for it.
Yeah, but pretty much, yeah, like we were saying earlier, Daredevil shows up fighting off these Prime Sentinels for a little bit. I mean, we get a bit of Spider-Man as well. Silver Samurai shows up for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anybody else off the top of my head.
No, that's about it.
I mean, I guess technically we see civilian, you know, Peter Parker and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, and at the background you see Flash Gordon, which is...
Flash Thompson.
Flash Thompson, yeah. Jesus Christ, so, just so many flashes. I always thought that was funny because like he just comes in with, like his bag on the shoulder and like
like everybody's like the world's ending because Magneto's just straight up just turned off all the power.
There's a little bit of looting and smashing going around.
And just like I just got my back. Yeah, I'm a jock. What do you want me to do? All right,
you're Agent Venom.
Not in this universe.
That's true. But I mean, if I'm gonna give my full thoughts on this, I would say that this is essentially the show.
Oh right, King T'Chaka.
Was it King T'Chaka or T'Challa?
It's T'Chaka. Cap says his name, T'Chaka.
Oh
so
shit.
This isn't T'Challa.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Mhm.
Which I think is interesting because forgive me if I'm wrong.
Mhm.
Because I'm pretty sure the Fantastic Four,
show. They did meet T'Challa.
Yeah, and isn't that still technically connected to the X-Men show?
Yeah, it is.
So,
I think it's either they didn't want to use T'Challa yet, or they didn't think about it at the time.
Hmm.
Or, like, you know, they probably just forgot. There's probably some, like, easy explanation or something like that.
Or, because, I mean, is King T'Chaka still alive in the 90s shows?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would. I
don't remember shit from them.
Yeah, I would probably think about maybe just looking that up because it is a little bit of weird. Because here's the thing: we see King T'Chaka, I think, without the Black Panther mask,
mm-hmm.
in that boardroom meeting with the president. But then we have a scene earlier where we see Black Panther with the Dora Milaje.
Oh, you're saying that T'Challa's Black Panther while the T'Chaka's still being acting like king?
Yeah.
That's something that's in the.
I think that's what it is. But,
probably what it is.
Yeah, but anyways,
yeah.
All the cameos are pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They work for
Iron
what they
Man
are.
Too. We forgot. About
yeah,
him.
I forgot Iron Man's also hanging out with the President and Cap.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, Avengers probably is maybe a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember people saying like, "Man, Avengers ain't shit." I'm like. Because this is an X-Men show, and they're kind of emphasizing more epic X-Men than, like, Avengers. Avengers have their own cool stuff, but...
Yeah, that's sort of the thing when it comes to,
All the Marvel teams.
Yeah, all the Marvel teams in general is that, you know, they're all doing all their own separate things. I mean, heck, Civil War storyline in the comics. Like, the X-Men were off doing their own shenanigans.
Yeah.
Right, while the whole Civil War shit was going down.
Yeah, like, we're not part of this.
Yeah, like, just, let's move on, guys. We're not dealing with this.
Alright. But like I was saying, I've already given my full thoughts on this show. It's that this is a very, like, well-made show and clearly made for people who grew up with the show and, like, wanted to show that they grew up on it. And by that, I mean, like, they kind of went more into what makes into a more mature route because majority of the people who watch the show are adults like us now. Like we both watched the cartoon when we were kids. Now we're adults, and you know what? We should change like the storylines to be more mature, but still in that way where even kids can still watch it. Because that was always kind of the thing about especially the 90s superhero cartoons. They're very mature surprisingly. Like I'm thinking of like Batman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
But they still had, stuff that, kids would like.
Yeah.
Because I'm always thinking about that one episode with the little girl who was actually a...
Baby doll.
Yeah, that was very dark.
Yeah. When you look at it as an adult. But yeah, no, there's a lot of dark elements to that episode. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, but as a kid, it's like, oh, that's very, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, just the last scene of her, like, seeing how she would be as an adult. I'm like, and her just crying as she shoots it. And like, that's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Well, any thoughts on this? Your thoughts on the whole show as a whole?
Yeah. No, I would agree. It's like I said earlier. Everything. The show is very well paced. Obviously, I think all the actors bring their A game.
Mm.
The animation. I think a lot of people were like a little hesitant, but I honestly think it's probably some of the best animation. I think these Marvel shows have been putting out way better than like the stuff you see on the Disney XD channels or whatever.
Yeah,
probably better than the What If
mm-hmm.
show. And I know a lot of people are even saying like, man, this is probably the only like Marvel like property that's been using all of its budget. It seems like like this shit looks better than like fucking Invincible and
The thing about Invincible is that it's a smaller studio.
Yeah, I know, but, like, at the same time, though, people are like, how come, like, because I think people like look at that initial announced trailer for Invincible,
yeah,
like the second season, and they're like, wow, this animation looks so good, no wonder they taking so much time with it. And then it's like, oh wait, no, it looks, and when the show came out, like, oh, it's the same animation as the last season. That
mm-hmm.
What was, why did they?
They hired an actual animator. No. I don't mean like that. Everyone who works on that show is an actual animator.
But they actually hired like a completely different animator
yeah.
to do that
mm-hmm.
because they had the animators working on the entire show the entire time, right?
Yeah.
They didn't want to like spend any more resources.
It's funny because there's a scene where in the comics for Invincible, there's a moment where like
I've heard of this.
Where in the comics is like, how do you get how do you like make sure all the the comic comes out on time? Well, sometimes we just do the panels over and over again, just hold it still. Like, isn't that kind of lazy?
Yeah. It's a fun bit in the comic, and then they adapt that in the show
a bit differently. Where
but like you know, for the animation medium, like yeah, you know, I always like the you know the TV show. I wonder like how do you guys are able to like do that? Like, well, you know, sometimes we'll just take far out, zoom out shots that don't need a whole lot of detail.
Sometimes we'll cover their mouth so that people who don't know.
Yeah, that way we don't have to animate the lips moving all the time, you know, that sort of thing. Huh, interesting. Yeah.
Like, and but sometimes some animators go a little extra hard.
For like
cut to like a very detailed face of Mark.
Yeah, just like sometimes the animators will just go hard, you know, sometimes just to
like, what? And then make it moves and like instead of holding twos it holds ones and like, ah damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, they're two totally different shows, two different companies. It's fine, guys. It's like how people react to when MAPPA does an anime versus WIT or Sunrise or... Is Gainax still around?
No.
Trigger?
Yeah, Trigger. Yeah,
Trigger.
Yeah. Because, friggin'... Yeah, it's just that sort of that whole debate, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, doesn't look like the freaking manga panel, even though I'm not going to read the manga, goddammit.
Yep, very much.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, overall, you know, I'm excited for season two because, I mean, the cliffhanger leaves you on a lot of stuff. The main X-Men team gets scattered across time. Straight up, fucking, you got Professor X and Magneto and some of the other guys meeting fucking Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, in Sabanur.
Yeah, and then you got fucking Cyclops and Jean, and I assume Wolverine because we didn't see Wolverine in the desert.
No, well, I think he might be still, I think he might have made out of it. I don't know. But who knows?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, they're in the far future, and they meet a different version of Nathan Summers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, you know, it might actually be Nathan. I don't think it's going to be Nate.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
Definitely. Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff. And then, of course, you got Bishop coming back, being like, all right, we got to go find our friends. We're going to go do some time travel stuff.
Some time traveling shenaniganery.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really fully enjoyed the show, and I highly recommend it to anyone. It's not just a really good superhero cartoon, it's a really good, like, show. It's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I recommend for. And I'm very excited to see what else comes out of this. I know a lot of people are like, oh, what did they do, like, Spider-Man and the Yay, what, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, let's hold them off, guys. There's some shows that I feel like are okay with being done.
Yeah, I know some people, I think, want, like, essentially just revivals of all the other, like, 90s Marvel shows. But honestly, I think the only one that probably we could see that happening is the Spider-Man one, only because it does sort of leave on a cliffhanger,
mm-hmm.
right?
But then we got the answer. Oh, wait, if it's 97 and it's... Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, all right, I mean, if we want to do something like that, I mean... I don't know. At the same time, though, I feel like, you know, if they wanted to do like a revival of the Spider-Man 90s show, I feel like I don't know, because I don't know what other storylines they could do except maybe add, like, their version of Miles.
That's the idea, right?
And yeah, I guess, but
who knows? But anyway, guys, I think that's a good place to end the episode now. We highly recommend X-Men 97. And like I said earlier, we will be at Compalooza this Memorial Weekend. We'll be on Friday and Saturday. Friday at 6, Sunday at 1. Be sure to check us out. We'll be talking about fighting games, and we will also be talking about the influence that anime has brought to us. So yes, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most likely going on Instagram. We'll find all clips of all this kind of stuff, but you also find the links to all podcasting sites that we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like, And you'll find a link to the YouTube where you can like, comment, subscribe, and a link to Patreon for any form of support. And it's been me, your boy, Lan.
Me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.